Keep your Bibles open there to Psalm 13, if you haven't already opened there. It's going to be our main text this morning. Back in February of this year, I preached a sermon on Psalm 13. And a lot has happened since then. Perhaps if you're like me, sometimes you feel as though we have lived a couple of years worth of events in just these last couple of months. There's been a worldwide pandemic. There's been another divisive election year. There's been racial unrest. We've not met corporately as a church family for almost 200 days. It's 196 to be exact. Funerals have limited the number of participants. Weddings have gone virtual. Graduations have been canceled. Businesses have closed. Churches have closed. For the first time in my life, there was no March Madness. And to top it all off, my oldest child left me for college. You know, it sounds like the lyrics to a really bad country song. But we know they're not just lyrics because we've all lived most of those this year. Well, back in February when I preached through Psalm 13, I did mention to you some lyrics that I had sang so much growing up that they were just sort of seared into my young brain. And the lyrics went like this: blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see when the Lord is living in me. Now, what those words did to my young forming theology at the time was to help create a distorted view of my relationship with God. A belief that if the Lord is living in me, then my life should be blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven. Yet as I've grown up, I've learned this isn't true. Even when the Lord is living in us, sometimes we see nothing but gray skies and rain clouds. But as I mentioned in February, that just doesn't really make for a real catchy children's song. So, how do we, as people who have Christ living in us, respond when our forecast for the foreseeable future is dreary and cold and gray? How do we respond? Well, the answer is in a historic and biblical form of prayer called lament. 1 Thessalonians, in that letter, Paul says that Christians should not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now notice, Paul does not say Christians should not grieve. He says Christians should not grieve like the rest of men. Oh, we must grieve. But we are to grieve differently. And lament is how we are to grieve differently. Look, no one taught us how to cry. I know this firsthand because I was in the room when our children came into the world. And I heard them cry for the first time. And if any of you parents had that blessing of being in the room, I know you mamas were there. But if any of you dads, if any of your dads were also there and had that blessing of hearing, you know, it's just sort of that whimpering, you know, lip shivering kind of cry. And nobody taught them how to do that. I didn't teach them how to do that. It was not a learned response. They just knew how to do it. You know, I have taught my children how to play ping pong. I've taught them how to shoot a basketball. But they already knew how to cry. You see, to cry is human. It's natural. But to lament is different. It's not natural. In fact, it's a learned process. If you've never been taught how to lament, then most likely you've never done it. And I must confess, I was never taught how to lament. I've never sat through a class on it or a sermon series. And so I've been learning this year. And so I want to spend these next 6 weeks learning together with you. This is kind of the blind leading the blind, or I won't say that. Many of you may know how to lament or have been taught and have experienced that and know how to do that well. I haven't. And so I've had to look to teachers. And so I wanted to mention three books to you here at the outset. These books have been very important in my education. The first one is called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament. It's by a man named Mark Vergop. This was sort of my textbook that I've used these last weeks and months as I've studied lament. Then he quoted two books so often that I thought, well, I need to read those too. And so a second book is called Prophetic Lament. It's by a man named Soon Chan Ra. And then a third book is called A Sacred Sorrow by Michael Card. But all three of these books have been important in my learning process. A lot of what you're going to hear from me during these next 6 weeks have been heavily influenced by them. I'm a student, so to speak, of these teachers. And so I encourage all three of those to you if you're a reader and want to dig deeper into this idea of biblical lament. One thing that all these authors would agree is that lament has been missing in most of our churches. Michael Card refers to lament as the lost language of the church. And what he means by that is even though lament makes up about 40% of the book of Psalms, which is the songbook of the Bible, only 13% of the hymn books used in the churches of Christ, mainly, are songs of lament. CCLI is the copyright organization that licenses local churches in the use of their contemporary worship songs and then tracks the songs most frequently sung. And in a recent top 100 worship songs list, they revealed that only 5 of the songs would qualify as songs of lament. I agree with author Soon Chan Ra, who points out that the balance that we find in Scripture between praise and lament has been lost in the worldview of American evangelical Christianity because of our dominant language of praise. And I'm going to really talk more about this in the last 4 weeks of this series, when I'm going to focus my teaching out of the book of Lamentations. But to only have a theology of celebration at the cost of the theology of suffering is incomplete. And I must admit to you that going through the struggles of this year have helped me to recognize this void in my life. It has awakened my heart to the need for lament. Now, it's different things for all of us. But for me, personally, in particular, It's been the heightened political division and racial tension in our country that has helped me to see the need for lament in my life. The division and the tension and the unrest has caused a great sadness in me for many years. And I've tried just to push it way down within me so that I could just keep singing blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven. But this year has like forced all of these feelings to the surface. And so I'm trying to learn how to better deal with them. And so I've been led to lament. I've mentioned this before in my life group. Every other Tuesday night, we've been going through a book called Strength to Love. It's a compilation of Martin Luther King Jr. sermons. And in one of the most recent sermons that we talked about, he shared this great quote. He said, "We have learned to fly the air like birds and swim the sea like fish. But we've not learned the simple art of living together as brothers." And he's so right. And it breaks my heart. You know, I've learned how to praise well. But I've never learned how to lament. And so I've not known how to deal with my sadness. I've not known specifically how to respond differently to grief than the rest of men who have no hope. I've not known how to address another person's pain. I've not known how to join others in their grief. And so at 47 years old, I'm learning for the first time the importance of lament. Now, lament's more than just talking about how to deal with sadness. Lament's more than just systematically walking through the stages of grief. Lament is a biblical pathway for us to travel to take us from heartbreak to hope. As I've already stated, the book of Psalms is filled with lament. And studying these Psalms of lament, we discover a pattern that's common to all of them. There are four key parts to a lament. And I want to use Psalm 13 to help us see the key parts to the lament. We're going to look at two this morning, and then we're going to look at the other two next week. In fact, I'm asking us as a church family to memorize this little psalm over the next 6 weeks of this series. It's only six verses long. And so you could spend a week on a verse. We can all find time to do that. I just want to encourage you in this because what we're going to find in these six verses, what we'll discover is a familiar pattern for lament. It's a needed pattern. It's not a simplistic formula, but it's a pattern that gives us a language when we don't know what to say, don't know what to do. And so we're going to look at the first two parts of lament today. So I hope you have your Bibles open to Psalm 13. Let's look at this first part together this morning. The first part is come to God. All of these are going to start with C. That's just a little gift to you from me. First one, come to God with your pain. Come to God with your pain. This is where it begins. That might sound really like duh, but it's not. But this is where it has to start. Lament begins with a decision to come to God with your pain. We're huge fans of Mr. Rogers. Our kids have watched Mr. Rogers all growing up. And, of course, we had a bunch on VHS tapes, and because you can't watch my PBS anymore, unfortunately. But I don't know if that's still what William has watched. But this point about coming to God with your pain, it makes me think about the lyrics of a Mr. Rogers song. It's one of our favorites. And they go like this. I wanted to share these lyrics with you. What do you do with the mad that you feel? When you feel so mad, you could bite. When the whole wide world seems all so wrong, then nothing you do seems very right. What do? Punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? You round up some friends for a game of tag or see how fast you go. What do you do? What do you do with the pain that you feel? The hurt, the grief, the sadness. What do you do with it? Well, this first part of lament is to make the decision to come to God with your pain. What do you do with the pain that you feel? With the sadness that you feel? As you look back on your life, what have you done with it? Many ignore it. Others act out because of it. Some self-medicate for it. There are Christians who want to come to God with their pain, but are uncomfortable doing it. Perhaps out of fear for saying the wrong thing. Maybe you still know what to say. Possibly even feel like God's too busy to hear you or too far removed to notice you or too big to care about you. Here's the thing. This is what I'm learning. We cannot be quiet. We cannot be silent when it comes to pain and our suffering. Silence will keep things seemingly normal on the outside, but it will destroy you on the inside. We must decide to come to God with our pain. And look, it's not just any God. This isn't bringing your pain and your sadness and your grief to the big guy upstairs or sending good vibrations your way. It's not what this is. Biblical lament is directed to Yahweh, to the great I Am, to the very one who created the universe, to the very one who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, to the very one who came as man and died on the cross for you, Yahweh. In the Old Testament, when you see the word Lord in all caps in most translations, this is who's being referenced. This is Yahweh. This is the great I Am. In Psalm 13, this is who David chooses to come to with his pain. We see that in verse 1, in verse 3, and in verse 6. It's Yahweh. It's the great I Am. And we must do the same. It's the first part of this process of lament. It's choosing to turn to God with our pain. It's to come to Him to bring it all to Him, to lay it out before Him. So that's the first part. Second part is to complain to God in prayer. So the first one is come to God with our pain. Second one is to complain to God in our prayer. I heard a story this week that I wanted to share with you. It's about a monk who joined a monastery. And in joining this monastery, he had to take a vow of silence. And so after the first 10 years, he'd been there 10 years and had not said a word. His superior called him in and asked him, if you have anything to say, this is your chance. Well, I mean, he hadn't said anything for 10 years, and so he didn't have a whole lot to say, but he replied just two words. He said, food bad. And he left. Another 10 years goes by. Silence. 20 years total. Comes back, and superior calls him in for another meeting and says, well, this is your opportunity to speak today. If you got anything you need to say to me, this is your chance. Once again, you know, been 10 years, so he just uttered two words again. He said, bed hard. Yeah, he left. This guy is there, this monk is there another 10 years. 30 years. Superior calls him back into the office. He goes, here's your chance. Chance to say anything you want. If you got something to say, right now is the time. He said, what do you got? Again, he just had two words. He said, I quit. Superior responded to him by saying, doesn't surprise me a bit. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here. I love that. It's funny to me, Greg. But, you know, my point in sharing that is that even the smallest complaints get on our nerves. The word complain is not a positive word in the English language. We do not like complainers. So then it's not an action that we think we should be taking with God in prayer. But is complaining always wrong? Well, as we study lament, we discover the Bible is full of complaints, and apparently they're not all sinful, but essential to this kind of prayer. Life provides us with so many questions. And in complaint, we're choosing to ask these really difficult, hard, uncomfortable questions to God. Lament gives us permission and even encouragement to take this very important step. In Psalm 13, David asks the question, how long? Because he repeats this question four times, you can't ignore it. Grabs your attention. I think it's a deeply moving question. Perhaps it's a question you've asked before in your life. It's a hard, comfortable question. How long will these gray skies and rain clouds last? How long will people die from this pandemic? How long will we have to keep meeting like this as a church? How long will we continue to have racial problems in our country? How long will I keep struggling with the same temptation? How long? How long? How long? How long? Listen, This isn't the whiny kids in the back seat asking how much longer until we get there. It's not what this is. These are genuine, heartfelt questions about the most painful feelings in your life. You see, in your life, there's often going to be this tension that's created between who God is and how we feel. And by complaining to God in prayer, we are choosing to address this tension by asking God our questions and sharing with Him our frustrations. And we see this tension being addressed very clearly here in David's questions. Oh, David knows that God is with him. He knows that. But he feels forgotten and abandoned. It's real. It's genuine. It's heartfelt. It's how he feels. Look, David would be the first one to chime into the God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. David knows that. But he feels sorrow in his heart every day and defeated at every turn in life. It's how he feels. It's real. In one of the books that I mentioned to you, Mark Vergop shares a very personal story about he and his wife's journey to having children. After having already delivered a stillborn baby, experiencing multiple miscarriages, they learned that their most recent attempt was a false positive pregnancy. And so they sat in their car outside the doctor's office after learning that news, and they wept. And then his wife prayed these words. She said, God, I know you're not mean, but it feels like you are today. Do you hear the tension in that prayer? This is the tension that is addressed in this part of lament. And we cannot skip this step. It's essential to this process. And if it sounds uncomfortable to do this with God to you, then the Psalms give us biblical language to help us learn how to complain. And why it's so essential to the process is because what we do not realize is this tension that's created has actually formed a barrier between you and God. And the only way to remove the barrier is to ask the painful questions. Now, the end goal of this process is not to complain. This is where we end. That's why this is part two and not part four. There are two more parts to this biblical form of prayer that we're going to look at next week. But what I want to leave you with today as we begin this study and look at biblical lament is as you learn how to deal with your sadness and your grief, suffering and your pain, first, choose, make the choice to come to God with your pain. Second, complain to God in prayer. Let's pray together. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Every day I have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.